San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, July 14, 2019. Today's lesson is Don't Fence Me In with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning. And welcome, welcome, welcome. I love to see you here. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one infinite, indestructible, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And this anchors us in the truth, in the wisdom, in the divine knowing that all is one. And so as we proceed this morning, let us remember that all is one. So don't fence me in. When you have a topic, a theme like liberation, and we get to come up with these cute little titles like Free It First and Don't Fence Me In, then we get to have a little bit of fun in our preparation for the talk. So this past week, I was watching YouTube videos of Roy Rogers and Trigger and singing Don't Fence Me In. And so it was a lot of fun. And he says in the song, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above, don't fence me in. And so this is appropriate. This is appropriate to our talk today. When we think about liberation, it comes from the Latin word liberatio. And liberationem is a feeling. Liberare is the past participle of liberatus. Following me here? Anyway, it means to set free. So liberation is to set free. So what are we setting free? Since we're free at first, what could we possibly be setting free? How about us? How about our thoughts? You know, last week I went over some of the laws that God has and that people have. The ones that are the outlines for living in a harmonious community. I talked about the Ten Commandments and the specific paragraphs from our three charters of freedom, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. And what these are, these documents, are guidelines for how to live together. How to live in harmony, in community, how to be respectful of other people and their property, how to live within the constraints of community without feeling constrained. There are four different kinds of constraints. One is physical. There's also mental, legal, and our personal space. Different people, different cultures have varying ideas of personal space. In the Orient, there is a closeness, the people are gathered more together physically, but their personal space is more interior, more inside, because people are so packed together. In places where there is a lot of space and few people, your personal space can be 1 square mile. And anybody comes into your 1 square mile and is like, hey, this is my space. Physical constraints. Well, that's where we are physically limited by what we are allowed to do. People who are incarcerated have physical constraints. yet they have no mental constraints other than those they place on themselves. We know that during the World War II, when there were prisoners in Germany and Poland and other places that were physically constrained, physically tortured, starved, abused, these people still, some of them still, had such great joy from their own mental freedom. And we can have within us a sense of hope for ourselves that we have seen demonstrated people without any form of visual freedom at all, still free within their thoughts, free within their hearts, able to love. So let's talk for a minute about Don't Fence Me In. Now the icon for today is a winged horse. It's Pegasus. And I chose that icon because of the image of horses running free across the plains, the Great Plains. And even though the Great Plains are no longer wide open spaces, when the horse has wings, it can rise above any physical constraint. It doesn't have to try and run through a fence. It can just jump over or fly over. So when we put up fences, and people have put up fences for millennia, what are we doing? Are we protecting or are we incarcerating? Are we fenced in or are we fenced out? Are we held captive to our thoughts or are we free to think a new thought? When we think about fencing, we think about borders. What are the borders of this space we're in right now? They are walls. They are walls. What are the borders of the chair you're sitting in right now? The back, the seat, the arms. And, oh, by the way, it's lifted up on legs so that you're not just sitting on the ground. There's an opening in front of you. You can stand up and get out of the chair. There's a door right there in this room. You can stand up and walk out. But that doesn't mean that the walls don't exist. What it means is borders have uses. By having the walls in this room, we are separated from the room next door where other things go on at the same time things are going on for us. We are separated from the sales space on the other side where people can be walking around and talking and purchasing things and asking questions. And they can do that and we can still be right here. So borders have purposes. In my personal place, my space, I have borders that are my yard, my property that I own, my house that I own, and there are walls around my house, and there are fences on my perimeter. So why do I have fences? For two reasons. To keep things out and to keep things in. Both. So walls, borders, everything, multiple use. How we look at them is how we experience constraints in our life. more borders. My city. My city has border lines. It's not all fenced in, but it has borders, marked borders. And so the laws and the rules, the ordinances of the city, apply only within the boundaries of the city. My state. We have laws and ordinances and taxes that only apply to this state. They don't apply on the outside. And through all this, we function with the rule of law. We know that we can change our thoughts at any time. And according to our teaching symbol, when we change our thoughts, our lives change. When we put in new information, it pulls out the seed of our old thoughts and creates a new crop with a new and better life for us. In the quote from Ernest Holmes that was recited this morning by Reverend Mark Obkamp, says, we cannot destroy the law, but we can redirect its movement. Just as we plant seeds and later decide we wish something else, we go out and uproot the first seeds and plant others in their place. We uproot the weeds of our old thoughts and we plant new seeds of new thoughts, of love, of growth. Last week, I'm on Nextdoor, which is a neighborhood kind of chat thing. And so when there's a helicopter flying over announcing something and nobody can tell what it says because it's just all static, somebody will say, okay, what's going on? The other one will say, well, it's looking for a missing child. It's looking for somebody running in a blue jacket. Well, last week, somebody posted about people walking their dogs and allowing them to go to the bathroom on his grass, in his yard. And I thought, well, I get it. You know, I don't like it when people do that. What surprised me were the comments coming back. Comments accusing this man of being a dog hater. Comments that said, well, dogs can't help themselves. Comments saying, yeah, I have the same problem. Comments about when the dogs urinate, they kill the grass. Just like 50 comments. And I'm thinking, okay, we have more than 50 houses in our little segment here. So this whole thing is a big mess, but I saw a pattern. What pattern I saw was there were people responding who respected the property of others, and there were people responding who evidently did not respect the property of others. So I posted and I said, this is what I see. There's two kinds of responses here, those with respect and those without respect. And I said, every owner is responsible for their dog. If you have a dog and you don't have your own yard, it's your responsibility to find a public space or an easement to walk your dog. Did you know there's even a city ordinance against having your dog go to the bathroom in somebody's yard? A lot of the people were saying, well, we clean it up. And what they're not saying is they aren't cleaning it sufficiently to get rid of any worms or any diseases, because all they're doing is with a plastic bag, they're picking it up. Now, I know this because even though we have our own yard, we've had dogs forever. My parents bred dogs. So I know all the things you have to be careful of in the area where the dogs go to the bathroom, where they live, where they eat, the puppies, all the deworming, all this. I know all this. And even though we have a yard and have had dogs forever, we also took our dogs for walks. We didn't take them for walks down the street and let them use the neighbor's yards. We took them to the park. We took them wherever. And we taught them that on this walk, they would be able to do their business. So if we can teach our pets to do their business on their walk, why can't we teach the pet owners to take the pets to the appropriate place to do their business? Some of the comments in that came back was, if you don't like it, build a fence. It's like, excuse me? I have to build a fence so that you don't walk in my yard and allow your dog to do its business. Well, I have a fence, but the point is, how can people be so disrespectful as to say, I'm going to walk down the street and allow my dog to do his business in your yard because you don't have a fence to keep me out and I don't have enough respect for you to keep my dog out? Constraints. Borders. For those, there should be an invisible fence. An invisible fence that all parties can agree with. And according to city ordinances and county property laws and everything, we do have those invisible fences. But not everybody acknowledges, recognizes, and uses them. And that leads me to, what kind of invisible fences do we create ourselves? When we have a dispute with someone or a disagreement with someone, a different opinion than someone, through our thoughts, we have the choice, the free will, to be offended. And I love when people talk about, you offended me, because nobody can offend you. People can only take offense. Whatever anybody says, if I choose to take it personally and be wounded by my unhealed whatever inside of me, I have taken offense. The same words said to 100 random people would not have each of those 100 people taking offense. Because it's not about the words. It's about how we are inside. And how do we get beyond that? How do we get beyond that? One of the things about liberation is letting ourselves be free. Letting ourselves be free. Ernest Holmes says, the law of God is one of liberty and not one of bondage. The Spirit of the Lord is everywhere. Freedom and liberty are also everywhere if we could but see them. Freedom, like truth, is self-existent and self-propelling. The Spirit, truth, and freedom are coexistent with one another. The truth, freedom, Spirit. All coexistent. Why? Because that's what the divine is. He goes on to say, whenever we are conscious of God or pure spirit, we are made free. Whenever we are conscious of God or pure spirit, we are made free. And what does that mean? We have looked through the eyes of the divine. And we have looked into the eyes of the divine. We are God looking at God. We are spirit looking at spirit, because there's only one. There's only one. And it is all life. So when we see that everyone is one, we can also see that love is the action of the universe. And it is love that unifies us all. Now, when we decide to take offense or be offended by something, one of the things that we automatically do is put up a barrier between us and the other person. And our logical mind says, I have to put up this barrier to protect myself from the harm that they are trying to do me. I have to protect myself from their meanness, from their words, from if they want to hit me or throw something at me. I have to protect myself, so I'm putting up my fence. I'm fencing them out. At the same time I'm fencing them out, I'm fencing me in. And I'm fencing me in with all of my thoughts of harm, meanness, spite, victimhood. All I'm fencing me in into my prison of mental victimhood. And that's not very useful. Because at the time I fence them out, at the time I fence myself in, I'm not just fencing myself in away from them. I'm fencing myself in such that nothing on the outside can get to me. Nobody's love. Nobody's love can get to me, because I am in my self-contained victim capsule. I have a little drawing I put up here earlier, and what it shows is two stick figures. Now, this is a demonstration of what we do when we think we're fencing somebody else out. You see, this person on the left has put a fence up, and I drew the line over his head, down in front of him, and under his feet. And so he is in his victimhood capsule. The other person is not constrained. He can move all over the board, while this guy is still constrained. This shield that our offended person has put up is called naphtha. Naphtha. And what it is that block that separates us from others, that separates us from God, that separates us from love. And we did it to ourselves. There's only one way to heal that. Only one. And that is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting that someone threw something at us or someone cut us off in traffic. It doesn't mean forgetting that. Because from our experiences, we learn how to avoid such situations in the future. But the way to avoid them is not to cut off the world, not to cut ourselves off from the world. We are free. We are free to forgive their behavior and to forgive ourselves for being so silly as to think that whatever they did was really about us. It wasn't. People who do things inadvertently, unconsciously, in the spur of a moment, unless they're murdering you, it's not about you. It's about them. Everything that's going on in their minds, their filters, their experience, it's all about them. And for us to decide that we are going to be offended by that person over there who has wounded our personal pride, we are suffering ourselves through our arrogance. Thinking that the entire world is about us. Everybody else's world is not about us. Only our world is all about us. My world is all about me. Your world is all about you. Everybody's world is all about who they are because we all have that inner divine, that divinity, that spiritual nature, that spiritual essence that is one with all, and yet we are having these human experiences. And each one of us has a unique human experience. I met a couple girls, twins. They look just alike, but they're dressed differently. So one could say, oh, but they're twins. They do everything together. Well, no, they each have a different experience. Even when they are together. So this shield, this naphtha shield, needs to be looked at. We need to think a new thought. We are free to give and receive love. We are free to let go of any frustration, any swipes to our ego. We are free to forgive our own selves for allowing our ego to interfere with our spiritual path. So we want to be forgiving. On page 457 in the Science of Mind textbook, it's called Divine Forgiveness. Jesus clearly explains the meaning of divine forgiveness. He says that we should forgive until 70 times 7. This is but another way of saying that forgiveness is eternal and ever available. What a load is dropped from the shoulders of personal responsibility when we realize that the eternal mind holds not against anyone. But to those who feel that this is unfair, it will be a hard saying. What, says one, are not my virtues to be rewarded above those who have none? O foolish one and blind, what do you know about virtue? Has your life always been beyond reproach? Have you never fallen short of your divine calling? Who are you to point the finger of scorn at your brother? The man who feels self-righteousness rise from his petty virtues lives a life of self-delusion. When we think we are better than somebody else, we are self-delusional. When we think that one ethnic group is better than anyone else, we are self-delusional. When we think that one organization is better than anyone else, self-delusion. It goes on and on. I could stand here for a week and list different things if I didn't fall asleep first. There is no difference. Every single one of us are divine spiritual beings. Everyone has the exact same value. Everyone. You have the same value as me, who has the same value as my neighbor, who has the same value as a CEO of a company, who has the same value of a homeless person, who has the same value of a king, who has the same value of a beggar. Because the only difference is the circumstance, not the essence, not the content, that divine essence of which we are all made. He goes on to say, know this, virtue does not know that it is virtuous, and could it know, it would immediately become vicious. Virtue is sweet as the morning dew, soft as the evening star, and brilliant as the noonday sun. Could the dew tell why it is sweet, the star say why its light is soft, or the sun say why it shines? When we learn to put away all our petty virtues with our petty vices, then shall we see clearly not what either virtue or vice is, but what truth is. What truth is. And so when we see what truth is, we are truly liberated. We experience liberation from judgment, from constraints, from pettiness, from arrogance, from victimhood. We become absolutely free because we know that that is the divine truth of who we are. Absolutely free. And so I thank you for being here, for being free. And I would like to invite you to have an affirmation with me. Okay? So please place your hand over your heart. Today, I am absolutely free. I am not fenced in. I am not fenced out. I am free to roam about the universe.
I am free to roam about the universe.
I am love.
I am love.
And so it is.
And so it is.
So all these little fences that we see to keep dogs off our grass, to keep burglars out of our yard, to keep our children inside and safe playing so they don't run into the street, to keep our dog inside to protect the structure. These are part of those guidelines for a harmonious community. These are where we look to how can everyone live in harmony and move toward fulfilling their purpose. How can everyone move along their own personal spiritual path? And we know that it is because there's only one life. That life is God's life. And that life is each of our lives now. And so it is. Namaste.